Hello everyone, my name is Frank Marasco. I will be showing Visual Studio today for all you IT pros. You heard me on the kickoff that Frank is confused sometimes. So I play Bill Bear. Bill Bear couldn't be with us today, so I am in his place. So some of you have, might already heard my story, but my name is Frank Marasco. I'm a principal consultant in America Cloud Services, where at Microsoft that assists customers with moving to the cloud, and moving their full trust code. So we won't talk. I'll talk a little bit about dev, but I won't bore all you IT pros with dev. But you'll be able to go back to your companies and say, "Hey, devs, you're not doing this anymore." Right? So. I created a lot of slides just in case of the internet, okay? So I do apologize for that. I'm hoping for an open discussion, to be totally honest, right? So how many of you, I know some of you I saw in the last session, but how many of you are on Office 365 today? Okay. SharePoint on-prem, 13? Yeah. So all the features, right, are very similar. So we're going to talk a little bit about all the new stuff that is coming to SharePoint Online. We'll show you a lot of demos. I'll have some screenshots. If we just want to walk around Office 365, please feel free to say, "Frank, show me more demos. Skip the slides." All right? Feel free to ask any questions that you might have. Right? So if you have questions about migration, I'm open for discussion because everyone is pretty kind of familiar with SharePoint Online, right? How would everyone, is everyone pretty comfortable with it, or would you say, "No, I have no idea what SharePoint Online is, other than it has SharePoint in it." So, so I always like to start off the IT pro tracks, right, with SharePoint, going back to the history, right? So I started in SharePoint 2001 as a dev, and I built out the infrastructure for a small insurance company in Illinois. We then called it SharePoint Portal Server, right, back in 2003, when Portal was cool, right? So, like, you know, if you use WebSphere, I used to be a WebSphere guy, everything had Portal in the name back then. Then 2007 came along, and we got rid of Portal, and then 2010, we changed the name again, and now we have SharePoint. So, if you're familiar and you've been playing with SharePoint, we remember that pie chart that we had, right? Now we change that to tiles. It's all about organizing your data, discovering your data, managing your data. We all know about the social features in SharePoint 2013 and in SharePoint Online. How many of you have been to the SharePoint conference when they said no new investment in SharePoint Social? Or is that brand new to you? And I just said it out loud. So SharePoint Social is still there. From an on-prem standpoint, it's still there in Office 365. Okay, some of the things, right? You know, in SharePoint 2010, we had some challenges with social. Okay, a lot of challenges with social, but in that space, right, we had this new get connected, enjoy conversations. We had communities. How many of you guys use NewsGator? So very similar to all the NewsGator features. NewsGator is for on-premises. You'd have to talk to them about their future and what they're planning. But it is an easier way to work together. Okay. So I disabled SharePoint Social in my environment. I think I might have a little demos. I think I have a few laying around, but we provided those enterprise news feeds, the microblogging. You probably heard of tasks. You probably seen, you know, if you're in SharePoint Online today, you go to your OneDrive site, you notice the tasks is gone. Anyone notice that? So yes, we now store those tasks in Exchange. Okay, so you can say, you know, it scratched that out. Poor Garth, he won't be able to create his tasks anymore. Now, task lists in SharePoint are still there. They are not synced across like they were if you have an on-prem 2013 environment with Exchange. We leverage Exchange for that. Okay, you guys ready to throw something at me? It's like, you're just telling me no, everything's gone, Frank. So we do have, you know, link integration. assuming that you have the client, we have app mentions. You can see that I can actually post. I can ask my colleagues for help. I can like. I can see things that I'm following. I can see how many sites, how many tags. How many of you use tags and the noteboard today? So did you see the recent blog post? So yes, those features have been deprecated, and we are in process of coming up with a migration utility to preserve that data. So the issue there with SharePoint Social is we have the noteboard, okay? The noteboard, our answer to the noteboard replacement is to leverage, take a wild guess, Yammer. For tags, I never liked this feature, okay? So one of the things about me is I'm going to speak very freely and open, okay? I never liked the tags feature in SharePoint. I preferred managed metadata. Those columns, taxonomy columns, to do your tagging. That is the answer to that, okay? And if you want, you guys can throw things too. So hopefully I will not tell you that there is no more nodes. We're just gonna talk about what the future will bring, okay? We have our community sites. Those are still there. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That is correct. Now, what we're going to talk a little bit about Yammer. So the question is about, you know, hey, following sites and documents and everything else. You know, what is the replacement for that? We're going to talk a little bit about Yammer futures, but we need an answer to that, right? Because it's all based upon SharePoint Social. And you know, the interesting thing, right, is. And we're going to talk hybrid later, so, you know, I don't want to steal everything, but if you have multiple farms in your organization, social does not work across the farms, okay? Social doesn't work across SharePoint Online and SharePoint On-Prem. How do we do that? Because maybe you might have a scenario where you're not ready to actually move to SharePoint Online, right? You're thinking about it. But you want that 1 terabyte site collection, right, for your OneDrive. You're going to tell me later to fix the sync. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, that does not bridge across. That social does not come across both of those platforms. Very similar to on-prem. So communities, obviously we still have those. Here is a community site. Basically, what we have is our various likes, discussions. We have our top contributors. We can show how many discussions are going on. We can see who liked and what those replies are. All this is there. You can view the most recent discussions here, see what's happening around your community. And we've always liked to play, right? When SharePoint Social first came out, right? Oh, I must have my badges, top communicator. Who's the highest reputation? We have that reputation. So here's our little site feed. And you can see that there was a best reply by Denise here. We get to ask various questions and discussions. So Lori, good job for posting the best reply. We can also discover those expertise and that reputation. So now let's get back to Yammer. Please. So the question is communities going to be replaced by Yammer groups? I'm going to say it, I don't know, okay? I don't have the sense of the roadmap of where that is with communities. Communities is a new feature. I would definitely post that on the IT Pro track. I personally have not heard any deprecation of the community sites. To be honest, the core features of SharePoint right now from a SharePoint Social standpoint, right, is following, right? How do you follow your stuff? Now, I'm going to talk to you how to discover your stuff a different way with Delve. That is helping us bridge that gap between the disconnect, because right now we are in silos, and you can see that we're making progress to bring that all together in a cohesive solution where, you know, you heard about the APIs, right? Write once, run everywhere, run whatever type of platform. You got your Mac. I can't see what device that you have. You know, I got my iPhone and my Droid. Bringing all that content across to any device, anywhere. To answer your question, We played around with groups, right? At Microsoft, we use both, okay? It's a mixed bag. A lot of people leverage Yammer because they have it on their mobile phone. You know, the SharePoint Social and their community sites, we do have that mobile vision. You just don't have that app and bringing it all into that one little place. It's very difficult, to be honest, of what that future is going to look like, but our primary goal is to bridge those gaps between our social networking, the multiple farms, hybrid scenarios, because to be honest, you know, I saw everyone said that, you know, they're in Office 365. Some people are thinking about it. We've also seen a big presence of on-prem. You're not going to move overnight. How are we going to bridge that gap? That's something that we're working on. So we acquired Yammer not too long ago. Yes, it directly competes with SharePoint Social. I'm not going to lie, right? You know it as well as I do. We have private and secure groups. So very similar to the SharePoint Social features. We have ways of being extremely Yammer is extremely, it seems like people think it's extremely easy to use. And it kind of is, in a sense, right? Yammer enables you to build on that knowledge instantly. There's other Yammer sessions. I'm not going to get into all the administration capabilities. But, you know, the interesting thing, you know, and you asked a very great question, what do we do about communities and Yammer groups? That brings an interesting adoption model and a governance model that you have to think about of when to use one over the other, right? Understanding what your business actually is looking for. So when Yammer first came to us, we had a SharePoint Yammer app. Okay. We had, not too long ago, single sign-on capabilities, right, with Office 365. We got Office integration, right? We have, you know, you store a Word document in Yammer, now it actually renders in the browser. Currently, right now, we are focusing on addressing those gaps with following documents, following sites that are out there. Those features are not going away anytime soon, but we are looking at bringing in instant messaging and voice and having a better connected experience across the board in Yammer and in Office 365. So, if you play with the Yammer app, you can see that this was a way to set the feed. We do have team sites. The Yammer app could replace some of the feeds, the default news feed on your SharePoint site. You can configure that to a specific group or network. And it's very similar to what you would expect into Yammer. We do have, some of you might think, how do we replace this, across all of our sites? We do have some sample code out in Office Dev. I'm not going to talk too much about Dev, but we do have samples that you can take back to your developers to help jumpstart that development. And basically reuse. We have business intelligence. In the past, right, we didn't have that connected databases. So how do I do advanced BI capabilities? Okay, we've greatly improved that by having new Power BI capabilities. We have full insights to help drive that value. We don't have reporting services in SharePoint Online, but Power BI is that way to go. So we have Power Query, Power Pivot, connected sites, BI sites. I'm going to show you one. I'm really sorry about the video here. Okay. So, some of you might have heard me say in the last session, don't modify the sweep bar. How many of you guys have turned on the preview features, the first look features? Everyone? So here you can see I have the new app launcher. We'll talk about how to turn that on. Sorry, it's going to be a repeat. But here we go. We have our Power BI. Now, my reports are in advance, so if you're a hardcore BI person, I do apologize. So here we go. We have our favorites, our data. We have our BI site here. We do have some learning more videos. Get reports on the go. So let's see, where's my data? Is the internet working better for you guys? Okay. You can hook up to Ed Snowden if you want. That's my fly. All right. Come on. So I'm in this room for a hybrid search, so that's going to be fun trying to demo that. We might have to move somewhere else, but kidding. So here we go. It's loading. You can see some of my favorite queries, my usage, my data sources. We do have the capability now to connect to Azure, right? OData sources, obviously. We can see some of the queries. Looks like someone was planned. The IA did have a query there. We have powerful, rich graphs that we can leverage. How many of you have played with Power BI at all? Some. Have you noticed that it's using Silverlight? Have you also noticed in the bottom right-hand corner, which unfortunately I can't get rendered right now, is that some of the improvements that we're making to be able to view it on anywhere, right, is an HTML5 type viewer. Obviously, we already know if you heard about Silverlight. Let's have a moment of silence, and we're going to move on. So some of the things that we have, right? So I told you guys earlier I had screenshots just in case. So here is my screenshots with my documents. I can show my budget. Here I have my nice little charts. All of this can now be rendered in HTML5, any device, anywhere. That seems to be our common theme, right? That is one of our guiding principles. Obviously, search. So how many of you have on-prem search infrastructure? Everyone using SharePoint? Right? Anyone using the G word? Don't really care. Are you crawling though custom sources like file shares, right? Line of business apps. That workload right now you cannot get that in Office 365 right now, right? SharePoint search online crawls SharePoint search online. Okay. What we're going to talk about futures later on today, where we'll be able to eventually feed content into SharePoint Online. So we have right now, in a hybrid type scenario, you will have two different types of indexes. We will talk about some ways and how to do that later on today. So from a search standpoint, everyone's probably used to all the previews. If you have Office web apps, in order to get the previews here, you do need the Office web apps installed in your environment. Obviously, we have our queries. Here we have our analytics that will determine, hey, you are already searching for this type of content. Provide those nice little quick tips here. We have our entity extraction, basically the document metadata. How many of you are doing custom entity extraction in your on-prem? That is also on the roadmap as well to be able to feed that index, right? So right now, that solution is only for on-prem because it actually has to be deployed to SharePoint. Okay. I talked a little bit about the previews. We have our refiners. Actually, this is one of my favorite features here. I don't want to look from things from a year ago. Things change. Things change yesterday. There's probably an announcement that we just, unlimited for everything, right? So that's a nice little feature for the visual refiners to help you answer some of those questions. Obviously, our people search. Basically pulling back things about me, anything about your profile. You can customize this based upon your requirements using this display templates. We have some things that show here in the corner, Don over here worked on some energy projects. He likes environmental research, and he's a member of these different types of groups. It also shows that what he has worked on. So how many of you have heard, without talking about search, how many of you have played with Delve? Let's pray this demo. Internet works better. Well, let's go back. Yes.
Okay, quick, while this is loading, my underlying assumption is right now Delve only works on understanding relationships between content stored in SharePoint Online.
That is correct.
So if you're not storing all your content in SharePoint Online, Delve is not really.
That is correct. Okay. Let me tell you what's coming. So I'll be presenting on that session as well. We should just have this all in one session, right, to be honest. On our roadmap, we will be able to feed the graph. It's part of that search appliance. You'll hear a little bit more. And, come on. Oh. So, you saw some of the things. So, this time I am Garth. And what shows me here is the capabilities of, hey, what I'm working on, what's shared by me. So, you know that, you know. Some of those features are now available in Surface and Delve. Now, with Delve, it is only, like the gentleman in the middle said, for content that is stored in SharePoint Online. So now let's go back to our deck here. Come on. We have our fine people. We already talked about how to discover content. We know that we're making advances with Delve to provide an easier experience to bring all that content together, because everyone's all over the place. You're in Exchange, you're in SharePoint, you're in Yammer. I have a problem finding everything, right? At Microsoft, believe it or not, we have actually more site collections than we do employees. Some of the things that we have done, right, if you notice, the service descriptions are always changing. So MSIT is actually migrating our content from all of our 100 farms that we have to SharePoint Online. How well do you think that 10,000 site collection limit lasted when MSIT was getting involved? That was gone in a heartbeat. We have over 300,000 site collections. The limits, keeping up with the SharePoint descriptions, we'll talk about it. It's an everyday job. Things are changing. Advances are coming quicker to address the gaps that every one of you have mentioned in the past. Yesterday, just a little while ago, things are evolving in a tremendous place. That is some of the reasons why. No new investments in SharePoint Social. All right. Let's have a moment of silence for InfoPath. We're still working on that. I'm in a mixed bag, right, with InfoPath. So everybody uses it. So that's why we haven't pulled it yet, right? We are working on the InfoPath story to be able to provide a better experience and a migration path to get you to the new solution. So here, you know, this should not be any new surprise if you played around with SharePoint Search. We do have our promoted results. We can add best bets, etc. We can quickly create those rules. Even in SharePoint Online, we can actually create those rules and apply them. You have the capability to manage the service. But in the new features, right, in 13, we can actually create them at the site collection level. ECM. What type of workloads do you guys use? And just feel free to throw out some. What type of work do you guys use ECM? Feature sets in your on-prem environment today? Automated expiration? No. you would like to use. Yes. So does everyone else. So the interesting part about that is we can create, we have those capabilities, right? So if you're in a hybrid mode, right, you're, say, storage is very cheap, right? We have terabyte site collections out there. You guys don't have that type of capability to do, you know, on-prem, because it's actually kind of expensive, right? The storage capabilities to support what the service has is challenging, okay? One of the things that you can do, right, is you can have content organizer rules to actually send your content from on-prem to that archive. You can then have leveraged all the new features that are coming to Office 365. So here's a little bonus. How many of you who do content expiration today find it very difficult to manage at a site collection level? You have to write code, you have education. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that feature in central admin? It's coming to the tenant admin to Office 365. We are looking at how we're going to implement that, but it is on our roadmap to look at. If you go out and look at the roadmap site, so anything with the service, there are two in favorite links that you must have. It is the roadmap site to all show all the new features, and then the service descriptions that talk about all those features, because all they're going to do is grow, right? We are not going back. One of the things that we have, right, that was, you know, it's not really specifically into SharePoint Online, but it's SharePoint 15, right, 2013. We have an easy way to share content across. We made it simpler. One of the things in 2010 is I don't know how to share my documents, right? I don't know how to grant permissions. We brought those features across. We also have, you know, I don't know, how many of you guys wrote code or had your developers write code for drag and drop for SharePoint 2010? I felt that that was a waste. We should have that in the product, and now we have that into the, in the in the product.
Can we get bulk download next, please?
That one's actually interesting. You know, I would say the sync client could help. I'm not going to do that to you. We know the pains of the sync client, all right? If you want, here's your chance to throw something. I'm all up for it. We've actually had problems with the sync client ourselves. There are massive investments that are coming to address that, all right? We'll talk about the sync client in a little bit, but one of the things is, how many of you guys use RMS today in SharePoint Online? You ever try to sync a library? Doesn't work. It is on its way. Okay? We are fixing the sync client to be able to support RMS libraries so that now you can sync that content in a secured manner so that with your IT, you know, how many of you people in your organizations don't want their business partners or their employees downloading anything to their personal devices? So if you're in the insurance market, things that are highly regulated, you probably have this requirement that, hey, you know, Microsoft, it's great, I can get to all my content anywhere, any device, but I don't want that. I want to control that. There are new features that are coming. Actually, they're on their way this month and next month. If you heard about, who went to the mobile session? Anyone go to the mobile session? So in the mobile session, they discuss all the new features of Intune, right? Being able to control those iPhones. Using the tools that people, it's not forgive me, I'm going to say, who uses good? Did anyone use good for enterprise? No one. Basically, what that is, it is a custom application that people build to interact with various different services. Okay? It's very popular in the insurance industry because they can control that. They can control it. It's all in one. It's all in the sandbox. Encryption, without using the device encryption, has its own sandbox. All that is coming to Intune to be able to manage that, hey, Frank, we know that you're from Chicago. We don't trust anyone in Chicago. They're all in the mob. So you cannot use your phone. You must be on a corporate device and a managed device. Those features are on its way. Okay? Go check out the roadmap site. Go look at all the sessions today. I can't recall when it was, but they go check out that session. Look at the decks. We do have a mobile story on its way. Also, to be able to manage Macs as well. Selective sync. With the sync client, that is the plan. I don't know all the details specifically about that.
That would be good to control the PA, you know, make sure everybody has a second home and they can download the entire corporate history and there you go, it's going.
Yep, and then Frank, that difficult employee. So I like to use Frank a lot in my presentations. Exactly. Frank goes and joins a competitor. Right, and I got all this stuff. Your corporate legal department's probably freaking out, right? How do I do that? With all the new features that are coming from the compliance standpoint that we have, Intune, rights management, right? That all helps across any device anywhere, right? So that you, Mr. IT manager, can control, if you're in the compliance area, how you can control that. I'm going to warn you that those features are all for Office 365, okay? On-prem is always going to be behind, okay? If you're in, how many of you are in the dedicated service? Okay, we won't talk about it. Basically, dedicated is on-premise bits. Everyone is going, now we call it convergence. You might have heard it. It's now we bring that fabric. Every customer wants those types of features. We cannot bring those features quick enough to on-prem. Our future is to bring those to the service. Okay? And then on-prem will follow.
Is it dedicated
Office 365
on Azure?
No. So it is not. There are components that play. So in that dedicated service, it is on physical hardware. In the next version of the service, it is what we call the grid. The grid is the multi-tenant fabric, but only for your space. So you could, you know, if you're looking at the dedicated service, you know, hey, what am I looking at, right? Do I go multi-tenant or do I have dedicated? It's the exact same reason why you would store stuff on on-prem versus the cloud. If you are really in that regulated environment, right? And I worked for this insurance company for 7.5 years. That was their biggest concern. We do not want my data mingled, even though we have encryption at rest. It's on its way. We also have specific keys. You probably heard Fort Knox. How many of you have heard Fort Knox? Right? I cannot access your data, right? In the service itself. You know, yes, I play in SharePoint Online Engineering. I do not have access to your data. All right. There's no way. We're not going to delete your data. We have a managed process for that. So if you call up, I have a problem, you always get, you know, you ever see that correlation ID? All right. Everyone likes that? What? He shouldn't be able to. That's my Wi-Fi, but no. We have actually better controls to believe it or not. In order for Frank, the Microsoft employee, to access any of the hardware and the service. I have to have a high security clearance. I have to be fingerprinted. If I live in one of those states like Denver or Seattle, I can't do any of those things either. In order to get access to the environment, so say something happened. You needed an engineer to support you. Something happened. Things happened. I have to go and request permission. There are only a few people in Office 365 that have access to SharePoint. That is, they control the keys to the kingdom, right? In case we ever get locked out, we need somebody to get in there. It's only a handful of people. I believe it is six. Six people that have the keys to the kingdom so that I can perform patches, I can do something. So now in the service, if an engineer needs to get access to that environment, we have a lockbox process that goes through that grants me temporary access, and it's time-bombed, and my access will be removed. How many of you knew about that? Okay. So obviously, with all the new features, right? This is still the same. It might look a little bit different in on-prem, right? Because we've added the new quick launch, the new icons, but we get to create documents in the browser now, right? You see this is a OneDrive site. You see Excel surveys. This is a way, how many of you know what Excel surveys are? Okay, basically it's a way to a web version. It's an attempt to address some of the problems with InfoPath. It is not all the way there, but it is a way to provide anonymous surveys to your users. Actually, we're going to actually talk about that. So the question back in the middle, and we're going to address that shortly, is sharing. Okay. In the service, we have the capability to do external sharing. Okay. I'll show you the admin. Some organizations, I would imagine yours, probably doesn't want that on, right? You might. We have basically three settings, right? Those three settings are allow everyone off, have everyone sign in, or anonymous links. The problem with using Excel surveys, you need anonymous links. Here's the problem with anonymous links. Bob, in the back, just shared something with me, and since Frank is that troubled employee, I send it out to everyone in this room. Guess what? You can now access that. So in most organizations, when I used to onboard customers to multi-tenant, the first thing I would do is, all right, you're coming on board. Do you know what external sharing is? No. Let's talk about it, because by default, it is enabled. Everything is wide open. Anybody can share stuff. Maybe you're not ready for that yet. Maybe you just want OneDrive. You want the terabytes. You don't want external sharing. You just want to share within your organization. We'll talk a little bit how we can control that. Okay. Turn it off for everyone. Actually, you can. So you can turn it off. Now, yeah, all the internal sharing. I did have a few customers that say, I want to turn off internal sharing. I want you to write code to hide that link. And I said, why do you want me to do that? Because now I have to go here. I can still do it. I'm a site collection admin. No. Excuse me. It's too easy for our users. I'm like, okay, no problem. I wrote the sample code, gave it to them in about 30 minutes. I said, here you go. By the way, You better hope your users don't hit help, because they're going to show you how to go into site collection and then grant everyone site collection admin access. So some of the features, right, we bring it in to help people, but there are some organizations that just want to customize things, right? I'm with you, right? So here we have the capability to invite. I can quickly share my documents. OneDrive for Business. You probably heard about the 1 terabyte. You probably heard about the unlimited. Things are always changing. It's integrated with Office and the Office web apps. We have apps for everything now. Droid is coming. iOS is coming. I actually think the Fire is probably coming too, but I wouldn't imagine. Everything's coming. Here are some views. We have it for, obviously, the Windows Phone, iPhone. We do have a mobile version. We do have the capability to quickly share. I'm not going to pull up my... actually, here. We'll pull up the presentation. Let's see. Probably getting sick of me talking. So here it is. I can share. This is what I get when I'm trying to do a demo. Okay. So really sorry about how this looks, right? But I can actually type in here. I like to bring in my wife. My wife works for Microsoft. Let's see. Come on. So we have the people picker anyway that will actually, it's actually not working. This internet. So on this screen, it's very difficult to see, but we have the people picker. And what it does is allows you to quickly invite people to that presentation. For team collaboration sites, yes. For OneDrive, no. Oh, the question was, in his org, he wants to limit and give people lower amount of OneDrive storage. We can only do that on a site collection. The minimum that we can have, I think it's 100 meg for a site collection, unfortunately. We did have that capability in the past, but then we decided to give everyone 1 terabyte, and now we make it simple. Well, not too many. So can anyone guess the problem with a 1 terabyte site collection? And just assume that the sync client was able to do that, right? What do you think? Do you think I have a terabyte on here? No, I don't. Selective sync is on its way. Okay. I want to tell you about our journey. In the past, right, it goes back into that portal side, right? So we called it SkyDrive. Things happen. We called it OneDrive for Business. We had 25 gigs, that was our initial size for all of our site collections. We then had the capability to purchase. You remember, how long you guys been on the service? You remember the limit, you know, that we couldn't, you know, 2 gigs would never work, right? We had like 250 megs is what the service had. Well, we removed that. We had the shared with me feature because no one could find things, right? Now we're adding Delve. We got our OneDrive. We got our apps. People started saying, oh, I lost my document. I made a change. So we enabled automatic versioning, right? Then we had added the simple controls so that we can easily share. Now we added Smart Search. Now we gave everyone 1 terabyte of storage included with all the sites that are being provisioned. Unlimited is on its way. OneDrive for Android. These are just some of the things that we have seen in the last, 8 months? You know, a year? This is where we're going, and things are always going to be evolving. So here's some of the new things that are coming. Larger file support. Everyone wants encryption at rest, right? We have to protect your data. You don't want Ed Snowden going in and grabbing your data, okay? DLP. We've always had challenges, right, with DLP in the past. How did we had to, go and leverage third parties. We needed that in the service. We can't put full trust code on Office 365. Our first attempt here, right, is discovery. Always going to be advancing. Auditing and reporting, right? So I bet in your org you probably want to know who viewed or downloaded a document, right? I know you do. Everyone else does too, right? Currently today, you can do that. It is on its way. You will be able to see from a tenant admin standpoint across the board, instead of going and enumerating site collections, right? Having that feature in one place. Mobile device management, unified apps. Our end goal, to be honest, is everything that you guys have said today and everything that everyone else is saying yesterday, we're going to be removing those limits. The one thing is the app model. Okay? That is going to evolve, but we will never allow code, because on your on-premise environment, your developers, right, causes problems, right? Can't upgrade your farms. So here we go. We have which apps I can use in the cloud, all those new things that are coming. We have the view shared document. Delve is a new feature that's now available. You can enable that. Bring you to find out easily where your content is. We have that Office integration. Okay. We can, nothing has changed, right, from, on-prem in this case, right, to Office 365. And we have a sync client we're going to move. We'll talk about that. We have our normal record centers here. We have our project sites, right, that are out there. I've always struggled with this one, to be honest. We have a project site template. We have our team site template. I can achieve the exact same thing with a team site by just activating those features, right? When you think about all the various different types of site templates that you have out there, always think about starting from the base, right? Think about the team site. You can always activate features, customize as you deem you see necessary, but always start with the team site. If you're doing WCM, that's a little bit different story. I'll show you a little screenshot of what Microsoft has just did. You heard me say TAS is now in Exchange. We can now integrate that with Outlook. This is something that I wanted to show you guys. Is, how many of you have heard about the Office videos? How many of you want to use those videos? Everybody, right? If you have not done this, I would recommend that you do this. Okay? It's the first release. You have to be a tenant admin. These features are tested, okay? This is not like, hey, you're dog fooding for us, right? We do that at Microsoft in our own tenant. All of our employees, we're actually on a dog food. We test. And we have another dog food that we test. So what I'm going to do is, here we go. This is Marasco Online. You can see, I got my standard theme, right? I want to enable. I want to enable Delve. I want to use and start consuming the new videos. I don't have, you know, how many of you know actually what it does behind the covers? You guys know what it does? Have no idea? The Office video? Underneath the covers. So, how many of you stored videos in SharePoint? Lots. How many of you had problems streaming? SharePoint does not stream. Okay? What we leverage is Azure. Okay? In the background, that video is uploaded into Azure. That metadata is actually stored in SharePoint. There's a timer job that goes and updates that data. And now it's now searchable and discoverable. It's coming to Delve as well. Now that tenant admin has finally, oh wow, this is going to be awful.
This video is encrypted. Does Fort Knox want to play the videos?
I have to ask, that's a great question to ask in the IT pro track. If I was really Bill Bear, I can answer that. My answer is I would definitely assume so, because that is our strategy, encryption at rest. What type of encryption it uses, I cannot answer that. But everything in Azure is encrypted. Does it meet your organizational needs? That one we'll have to have side conversations about. Ooh, hybrid demo is going to go really well, guys. Really well. So anyway, just to be on the safe side, here you go. Go into Admin Center. Go into Service Updates, right? And turn on First Release. What will happen is you will actually get the new app launcher, right? You will start things coming into play. Now, I want to warn you, Delve will take some time, okay? So the first time you enable it, you'll see Delve up there. You'll hit the button. You'll get access denied. You'll be wondering what's going on. It does take some time to provision those services in the back. So if you want to leverage those features, turn it on so that you can start leveraging those new features. All right. I have to talk about Dev really quick. This is our site, our MSW, our homepage. It has evolved. Unfortunately, if you want to see it, come visit me at lunch when we have where we have good internet, and I will show you what it looks like. But this is all done without customizing the master page. This is all layouts. So if your devs tell you, I need to customize my master page, you say, go check out Frank's blog. We don't have to. Here's the screenshot. All running in Office 365. Okay? We have optimized for devices. We have device channels. Device channels is actually interesting. Everyone wants responsive design. Okay. You can actually very easily do that with Bootstrap and all the Angular frameworks. You don't have to write that full trust code. Device channels is nice. It actually helps you, but I can achieve multiple form factors using responsive design, using some clever JavaScript without having them go out and manage the device channels. So you heard me say earlier that I speak freely. The only time I've actually used a device channel is, how many of you are on IE8? Is when there's IE8 and I'm doing publishing portals, right? Because if you have IE8, it's not HTML5. I got to write tons of JavaScript. I got to mix and match. It's a nightmare. I don't want to do that. That is a good example to storing to help you out. And by the way, you do know that IE8 is not supported for Office 365.
Yeah, we're
on
IE7. Oh. Yeah, we're trying.
Ooh. That one's going to be a little bit challenging. So our vision for apps, we got plenty of apps that are out there. You can enable this. You can turn this off in the service. So you don't want Frank downloading anything from the App Store. I can still submit the request. I can control that. If you're a tenant admin, you can control that. Say, we're just going to ignore Frank. We have our app catalog that is fully managed. Our app catalog is for your devs. We have the Office store. SharePoint apps. So you might have heard of auto-hosted. Let's have a moment of silence, good riddance. We now have basically two different types of models. We have a provider-hosted app. We have our SharePoint-hosted app. The main differences between these two is one is all done in JavaScript. The other one is done in the language of your choice, right? So whatever your developers want to use, if they're I used to be a Java guy. I can write in Java and surface that and use any technology that I wish. So one of the biggest things here is Office 365, developer and patterns and practices. We have a lot of code samples. I know you guys aren't devs, but if your devs are writing code, you go tell them to go look at here. This is a great jump start. Administration. We're almost done. So auditing and reporting is coming. You can see that we changed the tenant admin site quite a bit. We have different types of reports. Here's the thing that is probably most important to everyone else, right? Is the external sharing. So my friend over here did not want to turn off, he wanted to turn off external sharing. You can do that in the SharePoint Admin Center. You can turn it off. Also, what I normally recommend is there's always an edge case somewhere where your CIO is going to want to have a team site that he can share. What I recommend is set it to the middle. Basically, allow external users to authenticate. If you have that scenario, and I'll take this as feedback, you want to turn off all external sharing in your OneDrive, you can do that. It's an all or nothing thing. Okay? You cannot cherry pick. So what that does is you when you go into site settings, you'll see your My Site host. Click it, see external sharing, turn it off. It will turn it off for all of your personal sites. Now your CIO says, I need a site that I can externally share. How do I do that? You go create him a team site. And you as a tenant administrator can control and turn it on. By default, when you provision a team site, external sharing is not enabled, but you can go and cherry pick the sites that you want. So we're going to use Frank again. Frank, we don't trust Frank. I'm only going to give him a site he can't externally share. But you have a need for that. We trust you. We're going to externally share. That's what we do at MSIT. We actually have a nice little banner. We have external sharing enabled. We actually just turned it on not too long ago. It was off for quite some time. Our legal department didn't like that too much, right? Oh, no, we're not doing any external sharing. But, hey, there was a reason why. So we slapped the banner. Hey, this is our policy, like a little disclaimer in your org, right? Now our team sites, right, we have a custom site provisioning tool. That tool actually, if I go and say I need external sharing, it goes to my manager, who is John Gilbert. Please feel free to send him an email that, hey, Frank just created a site collection with external sharing. Oh, and by the way, it's HBI. And then I go in and I add something to that, right? I say, hey, share with everyone. Then John gets another email, and now Frank's going to LCA and to HR because I just violated policies. So... So we have a custom site provisioning solution that actually provisions sites. Most organizations have that. We have a starter. So based upon our workflow, right, it will go, if I'm in finance, I can't do it at all, okay? It's tailored for the business. But since I'm in services, I get to do whatever I want to a certain degree. And if I say I want to actually external share with everyone here, I can do that. That site provisioning tool will actually enable that, so our SharePoint admins don't have to do that. And then it will send out an email to all the users. That is a custom solution, and that is a good case for custom development, because you don't want to do this for all your users. Yes.
Where does that start with
that? You remember that patterns and practices? Yep. So with that, how much time we got? Got about 10 minutes. You can hear me talk, continue to talk, but I'd like to open it up to all of you. Ask me anything that you want. What is keeping your organization up at night?
Same client.
Yes, it's keeping me up at night too. I just got an email about that, and this customer is yelling at me, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's on the roadmap. It's working. I did not write that code, all right? But you know, that has been one of our pain points. If you ask anybody here at AXA Experts yesterday, or you hear people talking about it, you go say the same client and tell me what you get back. You might hear a few interesting things. But we are working on it, okay? It has to be fixed, and it will be fixed. Yes, sir.
It may seem like an edge case, but I guess the oil industry is really not. What are good use cases for these services on devices that get out into, you know, no cell service, crazy hinterlands that are all over America and all over the world?
Like here, right? So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the hybrid, but you know, I don't mind asking. So you have Asia is a problem. South Africa is a problem. What do we do? Right?
North Dakota.
I didn't really know North Dakota was that bad. So, you know, in that case, right, regional, you do have WAN accelerators that can help you. No, it's not. All right? It's not going to help. What we do in that case is basically have that capability for offline, right? If you want that, it all depends on what your app is, what you're trying to do. When do you go home?
So that's actually that's really the question is there currently a pattern of development for offline?
Yes, there is. And it is not done by your SharePoint people. Okay? So yes, I'm a SharePoint developer. I've always did things, I didn't write that full trust code. I wrote that stubs. Everything else was services, right? And it is a different mind shift for your SharePoint developers. It is. You can have different types of storage mechanisms, right? We have apps, right, you know, HTML5 apps that you can run on your device, no connection, using HTML storage, right? When you get back online, right, you finally get out of that oil field, right? You're at the airport or you're in civilization, voila, you're connected, boom, off it goes, right? There are various different patterns, and I'm here till tomorrow around 11 o'clock. If you want to chat more after the session, I'm open to having a conversation. Yes, sir. Yes, so the tagging is a feature of the SharePoint Social. Think of that as your TAD clouds, right, that you used to have. Another way to achieve that is by taxonomy fields, right? So having a custom field based upon the managed metadata service to provide that single type of... Yes. Yes. You have a way. Well, a lot of my customers... My problem, I'm working on a solution right now for my dedicated customers, how to extract that data. Everything that we do, right, so, you know, just to let you know, the patterns and practices site, everything that we do for our dedicated customers is coming to you guys, okay? All that code, all that, you know, we have over 100 samples out there. Whatever pain that we suffer, because we're an on-prem too, we have to get them off of full trust code. The difference between being like you're on-prem today and moving to the cloud, you can control that move, right? You don't want that investment, but on the dedicated service, everyone wants those new features, right? You can't get those new features unless you get the code. And we can talk about some strategies later on today about hybrid and where to place your data, et cetera. Anything else? I was waiting for what's the replacement for InfoPath, and we heard about the roadmap for the last year. Where is it? We are working on that. That too. So Sonia, if you remember her from the kickoff, she is working on that. Okay. So yes. I'm with you. Yes, and you will see it maybe in the demo today, later on. Unfortunately, you need it separate. Okay. That feedback has been given. Pardon me?
What did he ask?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question is Office web apps in a hybrid environment. Why do I have to have two? It's kind of disconnected. Did I hit it on the head? It's painful. I have more infrastructure. Am I doing well? Yes, so we are working on that as well. Unfortunately, you cannot consume Office web apps in Office 365 in your on-prem environment.
Anybody else complain about list item limits being a real issue again back in the cloud versus on-premises?
So, oh, look at the time. All right, so it's actually very interesting that you said that. We were migrating our on-prem solutions all to Office 365. We have something called Campus. This is where all the consultants learn about all the new things. This is where I store my status reports that I'm supposed to do for you, right? This is that one-stop shop. We have tons of problems with that. We have 12. 12 is the limit. We're looking at trying to fix that. You know, in on-prem today, right? You probably turned it up. How many of you turned it up? So yes, Frank at Microsoft turned it up for you because yes. So that is a problem. 12 is the limit, okay? And those lookup columns are a problem. We also have large lists. You got 5,001 items. What happens? We're fixing that too. Okay. I have to say this. Most people do this. And if you do, I'm sorry. You have custom lists that you use as databases. With relational database, you know, you want cascading deletes. I would seriously think at other options. SharePoint is great at document management. It does not do streaming. It is not a database, right? I would think at other solutions. If it's a one-off, right, where you don't have a lot of data, then that might be acceptable, okay? But if I'm developing an enterprise system, all right, that is going to store and I want to do reporting, how many of you want to do reporting off a list? Everyone does it, right? Maybe that's not a good solution. Maybe think about it. Think about the scale, right? If you have 5 to 10 users, different story. I'd say go ahead. Now you got 40,000, 50,000, 189,212, right? SharePoint list is not the way to go for your enterprise solution. You know what? That actually, so how many of you remember the SharePoint conference a few years ago with the 16 terabyte? Bill Baer and I built that environment. We pushed it to the limit. I still have that content database. I can't move it. All right? I can't move it. It's not going to fit on a USB key, right?
Yet.
But yeah, that when we did that, it was, we had a 16 terabyte content database, 100 million items in the list. And it was fast, right? Now that workload was archive. We want to get to that in the service, right? We want, you got a terabyte. What do you, that's a lot of data.
20,000 items.
Well, yeah, everyone knows. So here, rub it in. Actually, it's a little bit lower. We say 20,000. Yeah. Mine broke at 15. Also, here's also a helpful hint. Sync clients also painful? Yes. Okay, we know it. If you have required fields and you drop that into your OneDrive space, guess what's not going to work? So do not customize content types in OneDrive. Customize them all you want in your team sites. Please don't do it in your OneDrive. If you have required fields, think about that. Think about the why they are necessary, because it changes the experience, because the document's going to be checked out. No one can look at it. It's done.
Yeah, but if you're trying to use the OneDrive for business, sync client for business applications and team sites, that breaks too based on that.
Yes, it does. You are correct.
Has something we've run into a bit, kind of a case for needing to actually make changes to master pages, is wanting a hierarchical taxonomy that goes on all site collections and online. And it seems like there's a lot of problems with that, especially getting the same taxonomy, given my management data, to show up on every site collection.
Yes. You're ready for a solution? All right, here we go. What you do is you inject JavaScript into the page. You have a provider-hosted app, and then you source that from another system and use JavaScript and Samba and the HTML storage. You do caching, right? You have to think about how you're going to be doing your customizations. One of the reasons why we say don't do master pages, if you want to do a master page, go ahead, okay? The reason is it's actually more maintenance for you in the long run, right? You probably know, right? You customize the sweet bar. Please don't do that. Things will change. So, you heard, what is the thing that you learned today? We change all the time. We can't make up our mind. We're probably going to change something tomorrow. You'll say, hey, Frank, I just read on the blog, now it's 2 terabytes. Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't catch up. Things are evolving, right? New features are coming. So if we add a delegate control, right, so we can do that, right, you can't, but we add a delegate control to the master page, and you're using a custom master page in all your sites, guess what? You have to now go back and iterate through all those and now change them. It's just more maintenance. And I don't think it's a wise customization, to be honest. You're already spending a lot of money on writing code, right? Do you want to maintain that code? No. A lot of people, you can tell I'm from the insurance industry, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? So, a lot of organizations are like that. Think about your customizations. And if you have, and please, right, when you go home, go check out the IT Pro, the dev stuff, right, on Yammer. If you have a question, all of our SMEs, our SharePoint masters are all there. We can help you and, any questions that you may have. So I don't want you to come back when you see me at another conference, hey, you told me not to do that. And if something does change, it probably will. Feel free to say that. So thank you very much. I think we reached our time. Remember, my name is Frank. Give me whatever the surveys are, and I'm here all day.